Notice there at the end of that, I have decided that next year it is time for our children to leave the country because Jesus left heaven to come to earth to spread good news. So I believe our children are ready at this point to leave our humble state here and go to Costa Rica and share something over there with our state. It's going to be a DYD, our district youth director, is sponsored by the state. We're going to be putting together next month, we're going to be putting together a little committee, if you will, for this trip. It is a limited trip. It is not a, now this is open to youth and some adults that may want to come, parents and otherwise, so just be watching your bulletins for that. So, just a few testimonies this morning about what they experienced so they can share that with you guys. Who's going to go first? Are we going to start in line? Yes? Go that way. Reed, come on up here, buddy. Reed, I'm putting you through it this morning, buddy. You got to pray. You got to do all kinds of things, man. Turn around and face this audience. I promise I won't let them bite you. I won't let them bite you. Tell us a little bit about your experience there. Tell us a little bit about what the Lord did in you or through you and what you thought of the whole experience. You go ahead.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, it was very different from what we really thought most of us were getting into when we went. Very, very different, especially with the kids and a lot of their attitudes, I guess you could say. But overall, it was a really good experience. We got to minister to a lot of kids. And I think overall, we grew as a group together, not just growing with the kids and learning a lot about ourselves. We had, at night, every night when we were done, Paul would get us all together in our room, and we would do, like, devotionals, like, sort of. He would, like, tell us, like, he would let us explain to each other and stuff what we did today. It was really good. We got to brag on each other. I feel like all together, we grew as a group, and it was a really good experience.
Amen. Thank you, Reed. Good job, buddy. Well done. Morgan, come on up here. And let me tell you what, buddy, this ministry, I'm just telling you, they ain't lying when they say it was hard. Am I lying, Ashlyn? Janet, you were there. Where's Janet? Janet, am I lying? Was it hard? Every day was a challenge. That's right. You could have taken, look, and I'm experienced, and it was hard because it's just the nature of the deal there. Morgan, tell us about it. Whatever you'd like to share. Whatever you shared Wednesday night or something new. Whatever you'd like. Whatever you'd like.
Okay. So when we went on the trip, what I took from it was, you know, the kids, well, like people, us, we tend to hold grudges and stuff against people. Or like knowing where they came from, we tend not to love them for what they are or who God made them to be because we know how they are. And what I learned from the kids basically is that, you know, it doesn't matter where or what they came from. You should still love them no matter what, no matter if they are
Amen. Good word. Absolutely. We can't control some of those things, right? We're called to love people no matter where they come from. Is that right? Is that in the Bible somewhere? I'm pretty sure that's in the Bible. Amen. Mason, come on up here, buddy. You know this guy because you saw his big face. You know, you can't miss the big face. Mason, tell us a little about your experience.
Okay. It was quite a journey. It wasn't easy, but it wasn't supposed to be easy. Because if it were easy, then what would anyone have gained if it were easy? Sure, there were good times and there were bad times, but we held together strong, just the way we were meant to do.
Amen. Good one. I don't know, I thought I was going to break in a song there. It was good times and bad times. Anyway, tell us about it, man. Come on, Alan. I didn't announce it. He just said I didn't announce his name. Alan, the Alan. Tell us about your experience, Alan.
Alright, yeah, it was a good experience. Like seeing some of the kids, like where they came from or whatever. But like, you know, some of them just see that they needed love in their life. And like they needed a good influence or whatever. So like that was glad for us to be here to be.
Amen. Good one. And Alan loves some kids now. Alan did love some kids. Some kids love them back, I'll tell you that. By the end of the week now, there was some transformation. There was some good stuff happening because these kids won their hearts to the point where they weren't too glad to see him maybe, but they were sad to see him go. And that's we can attribute that to them waking up every day. And why do we wake up every day? To love people. And that's what you did. And that's what won the day. Amen. Susanna, how are you? Why don't you share a little bit about what your experience was like?
Okay. Well, like everyone said, it was very difficult, not what any of us expected.
that I can still use a lot more. I've learned that the devil, you know, I've always known the devil was powerful, but I really got a taste of how powerful he was. But then at the end of the day, every day, I saw how powerful my God was, and how every time the devil would never defeat, and God would conquer every time. But mostly, I think I've learned that to love, that I need to love people, even when I don't want to, when it's 6 o'clock in the morning and I don't want to talk to people.
Hallelujah. Amen. Good word. Good word. Amen. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, you know, and this is why we do missions trips. We don't do, you know, we do mission trips, not because we have to, but because we know that that God works in the midst of those trips. And if you haven't been on one, I encourage you to be on one. Maybe Costa Rica. You don't know. Who knows what will happen there? Let me just kind of get set up here. By the way, too, if you're interested, we do have some leftover tribe shirts. We do summer tribes. We do an outreach every summer, and we've seen a lot of new people come in through our youth ministry, things like that. So you're welcome to purchase one of these lovely shirts. I believe they're $5 out in the foyer there. Supplies are limited, and I don't know whether the right sizes are there or not, but you are welcome to try it out and see if they're there. There'll be some students out there that will take care of that for you. So this morning, if I may, I would like to talk about kind acts in a cold world. Kind acts in a cold world. You see, mission trips are an act of kindness, right? They raise a lot of money to go to a place to show kindness. So what is the value of that? I don't believe you can put a price tag on an act of kindness, especially when you're waking up at 6 a.m. And I saw Susanna. She was a zombie. She just wandered through the hallways with her bag over her head, or just wander through. And that was a sacrifice for Jesus. I just want to let you know. She just, you know, look, it's a sacrifice for Jesus when you get up and there are 17 people in line for the bathroom. That's a mission trip, folks. That's a deal. Okay? You got, when there's always somebody in the bathroom, you think your bathroom's crowded, you come with us one time, buddy. Let me tell you what, you will be thankful that there's only 2 or 3 people in line at your bathroom. Today I want to talk a little bit about, pastor's been talking about the power of one, right? The ability for us to change the atmosphere, the ability for us to do that. How do we do that? I believe it's one of the ways we do that is through kindness. Kindness. And let me start with a video here, if I may. I want to show you just a quick, and we've seen these videos. This is like no new revelation per se. But I just, you know, for those that maybe not have seen it, this is what kind of sparked my interest for today, that I believe that God was speaking through these various things that I've seen, because I've seen 2, 3. Usually if I see something 2, 3, 4 times, that's usually a theme that I think God is wanting to hit there. So let me just show you a quick video of what an act of kindness looks like. Turn that up a little bit.
Shot.
Amen. I think that's great. Give the Lord a hand for that. Several other things that I want to go through too, but let me tell you what, if that was me and I discovered, if I'm riding through Chick-fil-A and somebody gives me food, I'm going to jump right back in line. Stop. Don't act like you wouldn't do it. Yeah, can I have another one? That's right. Amen. And, you know, you've seen some of this before. You've seen things like this happen. But the fact of the matter is that how do we define kindness? Well, one way is generosity, right? We're generous with people. We're generous to the place where, look, this guy didn't just pay for the person behind them. He paid for a full hour, $1,000. $1,000 worth of Chick-fil-A, hallelujah. There'll be a Chick-fil-A in heaven, I just want to let you know. Okay? No Chick-fil-A in hell, you don't want to go there. Okay? Just want to let you know. It's one reason you want to go to heaven. But I've seen several stories. There's a story where a man uses an application, a live streaming application, on his phone. And he talks to people on his phone. And he introduces them to people in the neighborhood who need help. And he'll say to them, says, hey guys, we have so-and-so here, and I have set up a page here where you can donate money. And then, like that, money is received. He takes the money, and he goes and meets the need, whatever that need is. That's like kindness on speed. That's just like, hey, we have a need here. The guy's raised, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars for various causes and various things. People set up GoFundMe pages, you know. We talk about things like paying it forward. Some of you have seen the movie where we pay it forward. And sometimes, how many of you have ever, somebody paid for, in like Starbucks, it was a thing about a couple of years ago, where somebody would pay for your coffee or whatever it is, and you got to the window, and has anybody ever experienced that? Somebody paid for your meal as you drove through, and somebody took care of that for you. You know what? That was an act of kindness. That was something you did. Now, obviously, the encouragement, too, is that you would pay not only for your meal, but the person behind you. But sometimes we go, well, you know, what if they ordered like $20 worth of stuff? You're like, well, I don't know if I want to be that kind, you know. But you know what? The people in front didn't know how much yours cost, right? The people in front of you didn't know how much you ordered, but they didn't care. They said, well, let's take care of that. Let's just go ahead and take care of that. I remember I was over here at Jack's. Lady drove up, and I was on the inside, and they were in the drive-thru, and I just happened to hear that the lady had forgotten her wallet. I said, I'll take care of that. You just saw the lady. Don't know her. Didn't say anything other to her. But I said, well, I'll take care of that. She drove up, and she just waved real like, thanks, and just drove off. You know? I don't know what her day was that day. I don't know what her life was like. But I like to think I made it a little bit better. Make it a little bit better. Another way that we do this is through complimentaries, right? And being complimentary of people. And there are people who do this right, and there's people who don't do it right. But let me tell you about the people who do it right. This little note here, let me just show you the next. There's a firefighter here who received a note. And the waitress had went ahead and wrote this note out and on his ticket and basically paid for the firefighter's meals. And when the firefighter was interviewed about this, how this, I guess he posted it on Facebook and somebody saw it, but that little note there says, you guys are valuable. You guys are important. You guys are important to our city. You guys do such a great job. And you know what? The guy said that he had teared up because somebody had poured into his life. You know, you would think that police officers, firemen, EMTs, people who just do these jobs every day, right? They're there at the worst of our times. And yet somebody took a moment to write, this waitress wrote a little note and said, hey, thank you, your meal's paid for, you're done. It wasn't expected. I don't know people that expect people to do it because of their position necessarily. But you know what? This waitress said, I'm going to bless this guy today, and I'm going to give him something that I feel like he deserves. It's an act of kindness. It's an act of kindness. And you know what? I'm just wondering, though, too, just for us, for our sake, when was the last time that you described God as kind? We say he's holy. We say he's righteous. We say he's awesome. When was the last time you used the word kind to describe God? That God is a kind God. Kindness is a reflection of who God is. The scripture says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, that the Holy Spirit produces or should be producing on us a kindness, a gentleness, something in us that when life that causes us not to bristle at it and to become reactionary, but to cause us to look at things and say, you know what? This thing here needs an act of kindness. This thing here needs my goodness. It's a reflection. Every kind act and kind word we produce is a reflection of who God is. And every unkind word and unkind action is a reflection of you-know-who. Amen? Or, worse than that, when we do nothing and we're apathetic and we say, well, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Let me read you just a few scriptures about the kindness of God. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness." I want you to let that soak in for a little bit. I have drawn you. I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness. Let's go to another scripture. It says, "I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us." Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. You know, the scripture says, go to the next scripture there, in Jeremiah 9:24 it says, "But let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice and righteousness on the earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord." Now, I know those are all Old Testament. You would think, right? You would think Old Testament, God is fiery. He kills people. He destroys people. He does all these things, right? And yet, the prophets describe him as kind. He is kind to us. How many of you are glad that God hasn't destroyed you yet? Amen? How many of you know that that's an act of kindness on behalf of God? That says, look, I'm not going to destroy you because of your sin. I'm not going to, look, we all do that. I know we do that. I know that we do something wrong and suddenly we're watching the clock. When's God going to get me? Right? And yet, he never does. Why? Because he's kind. He is a kind God, filled with love. Not only filled with love, but the fact that he is love. Right? The scripture says what? That love is patient. Love is kind. And if God is love, then God is kind. People want to paint God as this ruthless, murderous, savage. And yet I would say that I would argue with these people and say, no, I believe God is kind. I believe he's kind. Why? Because the people he is unkind to, that's beyond my measure of understanding. I don't understand why these things, a lot of these things. Yes, some of it's punishment for sin. Yes, some of it's for disobedience. Yes, it's for that. But the things that I don't, that we live in a world of coldness. We live in a world that is growing cold. The Bible says that the love of many will grow cold. And every time we see one of these stories happen, it's meant to remind us that there's a God in heaven who's kind. It's meant to remind us that there's good in the world, right? How many times have you heard that from somebody? Even if they don't know Jesus, they'll say that's a reminder that there's good in the world. You know what? We need to be reminded that there's good in the world and his name is Jesus. The thing is this, is that so many of the news and other things we see are so heavy with terrible things, right? Terrible things, war and famine and all the things that are going on in our lives. Politics and other things. We love those stories. But when I see those stories, what I'm watching there is a reminder that God is kind. That there is a God who loves and a God who is kind to us. And he is exercising his will through people to remind people of a kind and righteous God who loves humanity. Who loves humanity. Scripture says this, if we move on, there's a story in Luke chapter 7. Jesus believed in random acts of kindness. Did you know that? I know that we see a lot of scriptures, right? We see a lot of scriptures where people are coming to Jesus and asking him for things. And Jesus, will you do this for me? And Jesus, will you do that for me? Well, there's a scripture here. We'll read it together. It says, "Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her." And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Now, let me just pause there for a second. Think about that for a second. Jesus, nobody's asked him for anything. I believe in the kindness of God. Why? Because his heart went out to this woman and said, listen, don't cry. What a compassionate thing to say. We see Jesus just walking around teaching on mountaintops and everything else, and yet we see this random act of kindness that Jesus comes up and says, don't cry. Don't cry. Why? Carry on here. It says, then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. What a powerful statement that is. Jesus was not asked. He was not begged. He simply saw the need. If you think that God doesn't see your need today, some of you, he's saying to you, don't cry. Don't cry. Don't weep. I'm with you. I see your need. Another story, if you remember this, back in the Old Testament, back when Hagar was cast out of the camp, and Hagar and her son, Ishmael, was there, the Bible says that Ishmael sat under the tree, and she sat under the tree, and they were crying. And the Bible says that his cry reached the ears of the Lord, and the Lord came and blessed them and gave them a blessing. They weren't crying out necessarily. The scripture doesn't tell us that, but I see a God who hears and listens and is paying attention in a world that we think that God has simply spun the world and left. That's not true. I see those acts of kindness, whether it's Chick-fil-A or wherever it may be, that I see a God in motion. I see a living God, a breathing God, listening to the cries of people every day in your life. That's why we recognize the kindnesses that we experience. And we're thankful for them, because that shows me there's a kind God that lives and breathes and lives and dwells amongst us. He hears our cries. He sees our need. He says, don't cry, and heals this boy and gives him back to his mother. What a great day that was for him. Can you imagine him on the way to the grave? Hallelujah. Some of us was on the way to the grave. And the Lord came by and said, hey, hold on. We need to fix this. We're just going to randomly save you, by the way. And you're going to come to know Jesus, and you're not going to go to the grave. You're going to know me. Hallelujah. They were all filled with awe and praise God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. What an act. Listen to what the result was here. An act of kindness on behalf of Jesus, who just said, I just want to intervene. I just want to do something. Nobody's asked me. Nobody's prayed. Nobody's done it. I'm just going to show up. So what happens? A great prophet. This is what the people said of that act of kindness. That a great prophet has come. And they sang the praises of God. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Can I tell you what? When we do an act of kindness and we show forth the kindness of God, that story is going to spread. And I don't know. You don't have to drop $1,000 at Chick-fil-A to do an act of kindness, by the way. Hallelujah. None of us would be able to do that. If we had $1,000, man, I don't know. We'd spend it on Chick-fil-A. Well, some of us would. I don't know. Some of us might spend that on Chick-fil-A. But here's the deal. God, in his kindness, opened a door for us by sending Jesus. I want you to think about that for a moment. You ever held a door open for somebody? So I'm just going to hold the door. How many of you ever stood there for like 5 minutes as people are like coming in and out? You're like, oh my gosh, is this line ever going to end? And yet God Almighty said, I'm going to hold a door open for you. Watch this. Kindness is not a luxury for the Christian. It's not we don't get to decide, well, do I want to be kind today or do I not want to be kind today? Do I want to be mean on Facebook or do I want to be nice? Do I want to be ugly? Or do I want to be holy? Well, I guess I'll be ugly today because my emotions tell me I should be ugly because I was dishonored and disrespected. So I'm going to, hey, if you're a Christian, there is no option. You wipe that option off. There is no option to be ugly as a Christian. And I'll tell you what, I don't know, some of you amen and really loud. I'm going to check your Facebook later and we'll see how loud that amen was, but just saying. But I'm just, listen to my heart though. Every act of kindness, especially from a Christian, especially reveals who God is. And every ugly word we post and every ugly word we say, which social media has made it tremendously easy to be ugly in just a few sentences. And suddenly there's a fight, and then there's a thing, and then it's viral, and then craziness happens. And I'm just saying, if ugliness is an option, I'm going to say that you're not too interested in the kindness of God.
Well, say, Brother Paul, that's not fair.
Well, too bad. The Word of God's not fair. It says what it says. Ugliness is not an option for a Christian. We don't be ugly. We don't get ugly with people. We can get mad. We can get, listen, I know we all fall. I know that we all make mistakes. But let me tell you what, to write something, you're conscious of that. Look, I seriously doubt some spirit overtook you and grabbed your hands, put them on the keyboard. Oh my gosh, what did I just do? No, you thought about this. You thought before you hit enter. Nobody, you were not fighting with yourself going, no, do not hit the enter button. Do not hit the enter button. You do hit the enter button. Some people hit it too gladly. Like, I'll show them. Nah. Give me a break. Stop being ugly. It's not an option for a Christian. Why? Let me show you the scriptures. Colossians. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. Clothe yourself, by the way. Clothing yourself is an act of the will, by the way. Now, I'm thankful that all of you clothed yourself today. But I don't think those clothes jumped on you. I don't think any of you stood in front of your closet and went, all right, hit me, closet. And suddenly you were dressed. You had to choose what you were going to wear today. And if you're a man, your wife chose what you were going to wear today. Some of you. Hallelujah. We're grateful for that. Because some of the guys here, you just wear sweatpants and a t-shirt and you'd be happy. Hallelujah. I don't know, I might be happy too, but that's not so bad. Colossians 3:12, clothe yourself. In other words, make a decision to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let's go to another scripture. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Forgiveness is an act of kindness. Yes, it's an act of obedience, but it's also an act of kindness. Let's go to another one. Don't have anything to do with foolish, this is advice from Paul to Timothy, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to, say it with me, kind to everyone. Say it again, kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. It's the number one thing amongst Christians. I believe it because I is one, and I know that's what I struggle with. That somebody does us ill, and we think it's appropriate to do ill back. And it's not. Not in anywhere in the scripture can you tell me that it's correct to bring vengeance upon somebody in some sort of form, whether it's a Facebook post, whether it's a nasty email, whether it's whatever that may be. I don't know what you... It's certainly not appropriate verbally. It's unkind. When we do that, we are withholding the kindness of God to somebody who needs the kindness. Let them be ugly. If they're ugly, let them be ugly. And I think we can, I don't know if we'll take a vote here, but I'll tell you something. I've had some of the ugliest things said to me by Christians, not sinners. Tell me I'm lying. Some of the ugliest things ever said to me in my entire life were not from cold, hard, drug-addicted sinners. They weren't. They were from people who professed Jesus. Don't shout me down. Shout me down. Our God, let's carry on. Sometimes we must redeem the unkindness of others. We must redeem the unkindness of others. Here's an example. Show you a little ticket, a little thing here. And this seems to be a trend too in some cases. People are ugly in restaurants. And they write dumb things on these receipts. This guy went to Trader Joe's or went to Joe's Crab Shack. And he wrote on there, he had this discussion with the waitress. And the waitress didn't have any sour cream. And so the guy thought he was funny. And he wrote on there, they didn't have sour cream, whatever it was. And his issue was, well, you had it last time. Well, she didn't have it this time. And he thought he was being cute and said under the tip area, if you can see that under there, it says, find sour cream. In other words, in the place where there's supposed to be a tip, there's an ugly comment. I hope this guy wasn't a Christian. I hope he wasn't. I would expect that from some pagan out there that wants to be ugly, that's unredeemed. But you know what? This is not unusual. If you Google up nasty receipts in restaurants, there's a bunch of those where people think it's okay to write something ugly on the receipt. Now listen, I've been a waiter. Any waiters or waitresses here? Okay. I've been a waiter and a waitress. I know it is difficult enough that you're trying to balance orders and everything else. And you have customers that, quite frankly, you just want to pour the whole thing of food on their head. You just want to dump it on them and go, oops, I'm sorry. But you know what? We have to be kind. But then this lady, let me tell you what happened here. This guy thought he was really funny, posted it on Facebook. Once again, not only was he ugly once, he's ugly twice. Not only was I funny the first time, but I'm really funny the second time. I'm going to post it. I'll show what I did to that person. Ha, ha, ha. Well, his cousin saw this. And, of course, made some comments about it. But you know what he did? He said, look, please excuse my cousin. He acts this way, blah, blah, blah. He says, I'm going to go down. And what he did is he wound going down to Joe's Crab Shack, found that waitress, found out she was the nicest, kindest waitress you could find in the whole restaurant, and gave her a $20 tip. And says, my cousin's an idiot. Amen. And sometimes we have to redeem the unkindness of others. Even our brothers and sisters in Christ, we got to come along and say, hey, they're having a moment. Let me fix this. Let me say what needs to be said. Let me redeem this, right? That's what Jesus did. Redeemed our situation through a kind act called the crucifixion. Sometimes we must undo the unkindness of others. Let's carry on. God opened a door for us by sending Jesus. This is an act of kindness for us. The Bible says while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How many of you know we weren't worthy of anything? We weren't worthy to be spit upon by God, let alone a sacrifice made for us. Let's carry on. Let me show you why. The scripture says this. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Can I tell you what? Some of us came to Christ because we understood how kind God was to us. We finally realized, we said, you know what? God has saved my life over and over again. When I was drunken and stupid in the back seat of my car, just throwing up everywhere, God could have killed me on that day. He chose not to. He saved my life. There was that time that I was there and I was high on drugs, and boy, I could have been killed right there, and God chose to save me. There was that car accident I was in, that I could have died in that car accident, but you know what? Because of God's kindness, he saved me. Why? So that we might remember the kindness of God and repent of our sin. Am I right? Why don't you think about all the things that God has averted in your life? That could have happened. That didn't happen because God saved you for that moment. And these little acts of kindness, the point of that was this, so that we might recognize the kindness of God and say, you know what? I think I need to say thank you with my life. With my life. May I also say this? Every act of kindness we show to another is an act of kindness that could lead somebody to repentance. You say, could that happen? You better believe it. I'm not talking about just one act. I'm talking about a consistent act of kindness. That waitress you see every week, you're going to go eat anyway. Why not bless them every week with a tip? They get to know you. Pastor and I went out to dinner the other night with our wives, and this girl was there, and she complained the fact that she got called in. She got called in and got called in to do this. And of course, we had to, you know, I don't think it was any accident that we got the grumpy waitress. Right? Sometimes there's a grumpy waitress. And she got called in. She had to tell us about that. But knowing Pastor, how many of you know that he redeemed the situation through words of kindness? And by the end of the night, she was blessed and happy because we were kind to her. Sometimes it doesn't take much, folks. It doesn't. Not for somebody who's having a hard day. Not for somebody who's having a hard day. Let's carry on. The scripture says this, Titus 4:5. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Well, who was the kindness of God? But when the kindness and love of our Savior appeared, Jesus, right? When that appeared, when Jesus was born, that was an act of kindness. An act of kindness. Let's continue. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Let's move along. I think you get it. Is there more there? Ah, God will not forget. How many of you know God's got a good memory? Let me show you why. Scripture says this. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. That's a writer of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews is telling the Hebrew people, says, look, don't give up. This work that you're doing, God sees it. God sees you helping his people. Once again, God is aware of what we're doing. That's why he can intervene in our lives. He is not separate from us. He is in amongst us. He lives and dwells within us. Another scripture says this. Jesus, about his disciples, says this. Says, and whoever gives just a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is a disciple, I assure you, he will never lose his reward. If you're concerned or if you're worried that God is going to forget your acts of kindness, I assure you, he will not. He will not forget our acts of kindness. I close with one last story here. It's a story of that was in the news this past week. It was about a young man who worked at Hardee's. And the young man, this older lady, walked out of Hardee's, and he says, he was washing the windows, just doing his job. And he said, ma'am, do you need some help? Can I help you to your car? The lady said, yes, please, I would like some help. So he stopped. Now, unbeknownst to him, there's a man across the street in a gas station, saw this. He thought it was so amazing for several reasons, because there's lots going on here. There's old and there's young. There's black and there's white, right? There's male and there's female. There's a lot going on in this picture. He thought it was such a perfect picture. So he snaps the picture and once again posts it on Facebook and says, you know what? Says, reminder that there's goodness in the world today. A reminder that there are good things happening. But once again, what happened to this kid? This kid, Hardee's, wrote him a check for $1,000. $1,000. Listen, I'm thinking about getting a job at Hardee's and helping little old ladies to their car. How many of you know that we don't do it to get the reward? God bless this kid. He says, it was just normal for me. It was just normal. How normal should it be for us? Let God be at the gas station across the street taking the pictures. Don't worry about if anybody's taking your picture or not. Let's be people who just are kind, because it's what we ought to do. It's who we are. We've experienced the kindness of God. Why withhold it? Why withhold it? I love what she says, and we close with this. If I can just get to the page here. And he says this. She said, of the experience, she said, what did you think about that? And she said, I felt a little touch of heaven, that kindness and goodness in the world, we need that so much, don't we? An act of kindness is a touch of heaven. And every believer, power of one, right? The ability to influence. How are you going to do that? Can I tell you what? We're not going to save this world through doctrine. Go ahead. Tell everybody about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and go through all those questions. You know what? The world goes, checks out. How about church attendance? We talk about greatness in church attendance. That's wonderful. We can talk about the great music we have, but unfortunately that may not save everybody. But how many of you know that an act of kindness could change somebody's perspective about what Christianity is about? It could change somebody's mind. And and Kim and or Gerald, if you guys want to come up. Something else that's not going to change things are holier-than-thou attitudes. That's not going to save anybody. But we could win somebody with an act of kindness, a reflex of our grace of our God. Aesop, remember Aesop's fables? Said this, that no act of kindness is ever wasted. There is no waste of time. There is no act of kindness you can do that God will not remember. Use it to redeem an act of unkindness. Or use it possibly to touch and to use it as to reveal heaven to somebody else. That's who we are. It's not what we do. We don't do acts of kindness to score points with Jesus so we can go to heaven. We're already in heaven. Now it's about reflecting that which we have received. So today, when you go out to eat, today, when you go somewhere, gas station, maybe you want to pay for somebody's gas. I don't know. Maybe you want to pay for somebody's meal. I don't know. This is according to you and your relationship with the Lord. But I'll tell you this. Before you share Jesus with somebody in a verbal fashion, you start to go down the list of why everybody needs the Lord and why they need the Lord. Why don't you be kind to them first? Why don't you be kind to them and love them? And a little touch of heaven will happen. And it's amazing when I talk to people, when I'm kind to them, they begin to open up about their lives. They begin to open up about their hurts and their wounds. They begin to open up about where they're at in life. And many times I've had an opportunity to pray with people. Just because I was kind, you can do the same thing. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we bless you. We thank you for the opportunity we've had today to come into your house. We thank you for the kindness you have shown us. The kindness to our family, the kindness to our friends, the kindness you have shown us, Lord, that you have saved us when we were unsavable in our own eyes, in our own ways, Lord. And there are some here today, Lord, that, Father, they sense the Holy Spirit nudging them and saying, listen, unkindness has to stop. It is not who I am, Jesus says. Jesus says, no matter how righteous or holy you think you are, no matter how right you think you are, unkindness is never an option. And if you're here today and you say, Paul, would you pray for me that I would be more kind in my actions and in my words? Because I understand that the kindness I show will be like a touch of heaven to somebody, a revelation of who Jesus is. You say, Paul, I need that in my life. Would you just raise your hand and say, look, I got to be kind. I got to quit being ugly. I got to be kind to somebody. I got to start living out kindness in my life. My coworkers, my friends, my family. I got to be kind to people. I want to touch people with heaven today. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, let me be kind, Lord. Let me be kind. Father, you see every hand that's raised. And I pray today, Lord, as we leave this place, that we will be kind, that we'll be conscious that our power, that the power to influence other people does not come through our doctrine, does not come through what we had at church per se, but it's going to come through an act of kindness, an act of grace, an act of mercy that we show other people, that they see that that which we have received, we have also passed on to them to reveal God. So, Father, we bless you today. We thank you for your mercy, your kindness towards us. Lead us this day, Lord, to do all that we can that we might touch people with heaven today. For, Lord, you have touched us. Somebody touched our life. Somebody was kind to us. Somebody believed in us when nobody else would. Somebody bought our meal when nobody else would. Somebody clothed us when nobody else would. So, Father, we bless you. We understand the kindness that we have heard today. And that which we have heard, we receive. And that which we receive, we pass along. Help us to make an impact upon our city. And upon our places where we live, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Now, guys, if you guys want to just close with a little song, if you have something on your heart that would be good, lead us, and then we'll head on out. You guys can stand up. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We send forth these people today into their communities, into these restaurants, into these homes. And Father, I pray that they be filled, Lord, with the spirit of kindness, to be kind to others as you have been kind to us. So, Lord, we bless you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that, Lord, you are waiting to meet our needs. And, Lord, you're waiting. Lord, we're going to experience some random acts of kindness from our God this week, who's going to bless us, who's going to keep us, who's going to comfort us in all our ways. And we are thankful for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One last thing. We want to say, Kurt Andrews, our sound man, next Sunday.